"Silence and cold ashes," quoted the junior lieutenant, who had received the other's meaningful glance, more daring than her companion. The poem quoted was an elegy for someone whose funeral offerings had been deliberately neglected. I saw Lieutenant Isaiah react with an instant of ambivalence. The next line spoke of food offerings not made for the dead, and the junior lieutenant conceivably might have been criticizing Lieutenant On for not coming to supper the night before or breakfast on time this morning.
"It really is one-esque," said another lieutenant, concealing her smirk at the very junior lieutenant's cleverness, looking closely at the segments that were at the moment laying out plates of fish and fruit on the counter.
"Maybe On broke it of its bad habits. I hope so."
"Why so quiet, One?" asked Lieutenant Dariot.
"Oh, don't get it started," groaned another lieutenant. "It's too early for all that noise."
"If it was On, good for her," said Lieutenant Isaiah. "A little late, though."
"Like now," said a lieutenant at Lieutenant Isaiah's elbow. "Give me food while yet I live."
Another quote, another reference to funeral offerings, and a rebuttal in case the junior lieutenant had intended insult in the wrong direction.
"Is she coming or not? If she isn't coming, she should say so."
At that moment, Lieutenant On was in the bath, and I was attending her. I could have told the lieutenants that Lieutenant On would be there soon, but I said nothing, only noted the level and temperature of the tea in the black glass bowls various lieutenants held, and continued to lay out breakfast plates. Near my own weapons storage, I cleaned my 20 guns so I could stow them, along with their ammunition. In each of my lieutenants' quarters, I stripped the linen from their beds. The officers of Amat, Torin, Atrepa, and Beau were all well into breakfast, chattering, lively. The captain ate with the decade commanders, a quieter, more sober conversation. One of my shuttles approached me. Four Beau lieutenants returning from leave, strapped into their seats, unconscious. They would be unhappy when they woke.
"Ship," said Lieutenant Dariot. "Will Lieutenant On be joining us for breakfast?"
"Yes, Lieutenant," I said, with 1S6's voice. In the bath, I poured water over Lieutenant On, who stood, eyes closed, on the grating over the drain. Her breathing was even, but her heart rate was slightly elevated, and she showed other signs of stress. I was fairly sure her tardiness was deliberate, designed to give her the bath to herself. Not because she couldn't handle Lieutenant Isaiah, she certainly could, but because she was still distressed from the past day's events.
"When?" asked Lieutenant Isaiah, frowning just slightly.
"About 5 minutes, Lieutenant." A chorus of groans went up.
"Now, lieutenants," Lieutenant Isaiah admonished, "she is our senior, and we should all have patience with her right now. Such a sudden return, when we all thought the Divine would never agree to her leaving Oars."
"Found out she wasn't such a good choice, eh?" sneered the lieutenant at Lieutenant Isaiah's elbow.
She was close to Lieutenant Isaiah in more than one sense. None of them knew what had happened and couldn't ask, and I, of course, had said nothing.
"Not likely," said Lieutenant Dariot, her voice a shade louder than usual.
She was angry.
"Not after 5 years."
I took the tea flask, turned from the counter, went over to where Lieutenant Dariot stood, and poured 11 millimeters of tea into the nearly full bowl she held.
"You like Lieutenant On, of course," said Lieutenant Isaiah. "We all do, but she doesn't have breeding. She wasn't born for this. She works so very hard at what comes naturally to us. I would hardly be surprised if 5 years was all she could take without cracking."
She looked at the empty bowl in her gloved hand.
I need more tea.
You think you'd have done a better job in On's place, observed Lieutenant Darriot.
I don't trouble myself with hypotheticals, answered Lieutenant Isaiah. The facts are what they are. There's a reason On was senior esque lieutenant long before any of us got here. Obviously, On has some ability or she'd never have done as well as she has, but she's reached her limit.
A quiet murmur of agreement.
Her parents are cooks, Lieutenant Isaiah continued. I'm sure they're excellent at what they do. I'm sure she would manage a kitchen admirably.
Three lieutenants snickered. Lieutenant Darriot said, her voice tight and edged, Really?
Finally dressed, uniform as perfect as I could make it, Lieutenant On stepped out of the dressing room into the corridor, 5 steps away from the decade room. Lieutenant Isaiah noticed Lieutenant Darriot's mood with a familiar ambivalence. Lieutenant Isaiah was senior, but Lieutenant Darriot's house was older, wealthier than Lieutenant Isaiah's, and Lieutenant Darriot's branch of that house were direct clients to a prominent branch of Mianai itself. Theoretically, that didn't matter here.
Theoretically.
All the data I received from Lieutenant Isaiah that morning had had an underlying taste of resentment, which grew momentarily stronger.
Managing a kitchen is a perfectly respectable job, said Lieutenant Isaiah. But I can only imagine how difficult it must be to be bred to be a servant, and instead of taking an assignment that truly suits, to be thrust into a position of such authority. Not everyone is cut out to be an officer.
The door opened, and Lieutenant On stepped in just as the last sentence left Lieutenant Isaiah's mouth. Silence engulfed the decade room. Lieutenant Isaiah looked calm and unconcerned, but felt abashed. She had clearly not intended, would never have dared, to say such things openly to Lieutenant On. Only Lieutenant Darriot spoke.
Good morning, Lieutenant.
Lieutenant On didn't answer, didn't even look at her, but went to the corner of the room where the decade shrine sat, with its small figure of Torin and bowl of burning incense. Lieutenant On made her obeisance to the figure and then looked at the bowl with a slight frown. As before, her muscles were tense, her heart rate elevated, and I knew she guessed at the content, or at least the drift of the conversation before she had entered, knew who it was who wasn't cut out to be an officer. She turned.
Good morning, Lieutenants. I apologize for having kept you waiting.
And launched without any other preamble into the morning prayer. The flower of justice is peace. The others joined, and when they were finished, Lieutenant On went to her place at the head of the table, sat. Before the others had time to settle themselves, I had tea and breakfast in front of her. I served the others, and Lieutenant On took a sip of her tea and began to eat. Lieutenant Darriot picked up her utensil.
It's good to have you back.
Her voice was just slightly edged, only barely managing to conceal her anger.
Thank you, said Lieutenant On, and took another bite of fish.
I still need tea, said Lieutenant Isaiah.
The rest of the table was tense and hushed, watching.
The quiet is nice, but perhaps there's been a decline in efficiency.
Lieutenant On chewed, swallowed, took another drink of tea.
Pardon?
You've managed to silence one ask, explained Lieutenant Isaiah, but...
She raised her empty bowl. At that moment, I was behind her with the flask and poured, filling the bowl.
Lieutenant On raised one gloved hand, gesturing toward the mootness of Lieutenant Isaiah's point.
I haven't silenced one ask.
She looked at the segment with the flask and frowned.
Not intentionally, anyway. Go ahead and sing if you want, one ask.
A dozen lieutenants groaned. Lieutenant Isaiah smiled insincerely. Lieutenant Dariot stopped, a bite of fish halfway to her mouth.
I like the singing. It's nice, and it's a distinction.
It's embarrassing is what it is, said the lieutenant close to Lieutenant Isaiah.
I don't find it embarrassing, said Lieutenant On a bit stiffly.
Of course not, said Lieutenant Isaiah, malice concealed in the ambiguity of her words. Why so quiet, then, one?
I've been busy, Lieutenant, I answered, and I haven't wanted to disturb Lieutenant On.
Your singing doesn't disturb me, one, said Lieutenant On. I'm sorry you thought it did. Please sing if you want.
Lieutenant Isaiah raised an eyebrow.
An apology and a please? That's a bit much.
Courtesy, said Lieutenant Dariot, her voice uncharacteristically prim, is always proper and always beneficial.
Lieutenant Isaiah smirked.
Thank you, Mother.
Lieutenant On said nothing. 4.5 hours after breakfast, the shuttle bearing those 4 second bow lieutenants home from their leave docked. They'd been drinking for 3 days and had continued right up to the moment they left Shiserna Station. The first of them, through the lock, staggered slightly and then closed her eyes.
Medic,
she breathed. They expect you, I said, through the segment of one bow I'd placed there. Do you need help onto the lift? The lieutenant made a feeble attempt to wave my offer away and moved off slowly down the corridor, one shoulder against the wall for support. I boarded the shuttle, kicking off past the boundary of my artificially generated gravity. The shuttle was too small to have its own. Two of the officers, still drunk themselves, were trying to wake the fourth, passed out cold in her seat. The pilot, the most junior of the bow officers, sat stiff and apprehensive. I thought at first her discomfort was due to the reek of spilled arak and vomit. Thankfully, the former had apparently been spilled onto the lieutenants themselves, on Shiserna Station, and nearly all of the latter had gone into the appropriate receptacles. But then I looked, one bow looked, toward the stern and saw 3 Anander Meonais sitting silent and impassive in the rear seats. Not there, to me. She would have boarded at Shiserna Station quietly, told the pilot to say nothing to me. The others had, I suspected, been too intoxicated to notice her. I thought of her asking me on the planet when she had last visited me, of my inexplicable and reflexive lie. The real last time had been a good deal like this. My lord, I said when all the bow lieutenants were out of earshot, I'll notify the 100 captain.
No, said one Anander. Your var deck is empty.
Yes, my lord, I acknowledged.
I'll stay there while I'm on board.
Nothing further, no why or how long, or when I could tell the captain what I was doing. I was obliged to obey Anander Meonai, even over my own captain. But I rarely had an order from one without the knowledge of the other. It was uncomfortable. I sent segments of one esk to retrieve one var from the hold, started one section of var deck warming. The 3 Anander Meonais declined my offer of assistance with their luggage, carried their things down to Var. This had happened before. At Valsky, my lower decks had been mostly empty because many of my troops had been out of the hold and working. She had stayed on the esk deck that time. What had she wanted then? What had she done? To my dismay, I found my thoughts slipping around the answer, which remained vague, invisible. That wasn't right. It wasn't right at all. Between the esk and var decks was direct access to my brain. What had she done at Valsky that I couldn't remember? And what was she preparing to do now?